B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid ass. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Everybody, welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Wednesday, April 1st. Got Maz and I on remote. Big Jim Murray setting up in our Town Fair Tire Studios back in Dorchester. Maz, good and you? All right, Maz still dialing in there. I guess he's not quite ready. We're going to have a Big Jim Murray. Are you there, Big Jim?
No headphones on yet, so.
Okay, all right, fine. It's just me. It's just me to start. We're going to keep grinding through this puppy, talking sports like we usually do. I want to start off with NFL, and I want to start off with something we didn't really get to yesterday. It came out yesterday, and it was official yesterday, but you know me, analog. I'm a day behind, so we'll get to it today. And that is the expanded playoff field. Very simply, people, do you like it? Do you not like it? Do you think it helps the Patriots? Do you think it hurts the Patriots? Make it a better league? A worse league? Etc., etc. A big factor, you know, obviously for us is, does it help or hurt the Patriots? And, you know, we'll do a little exercise. This was Maz's idea. It was a good one. We're going to go back through the years at some of their runs, some of their Super Bowl runs, some of their championship seasons, some of their near-miss seasons, and figure out, would that buy have helped them or hurt them, or what would have happened if, in other words, this system was in place through the entirety of the Belichick run, would you have six Super Bowl championships? We're going to look at that, try and give it an honest assessment. But, Big Jim Murray, you all set up, ready to go?
Yeah, I'm all
okay. So when this first came up, and again, it's kind of a formality because we knew this was happening for a while, but now that it's official, when we asked you before, you hated it. You freaking hated it.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it now that it's official?
I still hate it, but I'll learn to accept it because the NFL, like most people, has me over a barrel. You know, like we keep bitching and moaning about the changes to the league, the watering down of the league. But what do we actually do about it? Nothing. I'm never going to actually stop watching, even if they had robots play the game. I'm still going to be there. Well, I'll complain about it like everyone else as well. I just don't like it. I thought it was a perfect format. I feel like this rewards mediocrity. This year you would have had that first round, it would have been Kansas City, who was the 2 seed, play Pittsburgh. That would have been a waste of time. You're putting injury risk towards the MVP of the league and Patrick Mahomes. I wouldn't want that. I just really think this only benefits like degenerate gamblers. Those are the only people that are really clamoring for this, that third wild card game. Personally, I didn't want it. You're going to see bad teams squeaking in. I think you're going to be seeing more bad wild card games. It feels like overkill to me.
Maz, reset your thoughts. I know how you feel about it. How do you feel about it today now that it's official?
Okay, so I like the idea of having an extra playoff team in there, and I certainly like the idea of one bye. I think that makes it a little bit more competitive for the best teams in each conference. That's the part of it I really like the most. I'm certainly okay with an extra wild card game. And to me, with the playoffs, particularly in the NFL, my attitude is the more the merrier. I like uncertainty, particularly in the playoff games. I think this introduces some of that. And again, I love the idea of one bye instead of two. I love the idea because it makes it one premium spot that puts you in the most advantageous position in each conference, and I love the fact that teams have to fight for that.
Okay, I like it. I want more product. I'm ready for 17 games. I'm ready for an extra wild card game. I'm ready for 18 games. I think the NFL has not quite saturated itself. I know, Murray, that's your big concern. I don't think we're quite there yet, but I think they have just a little wriggle room there before they hit their saturation point, so I am okay. I think there's a little inevitable expansion coming here to one more regular season game and perhaps even another playoff team, which I'm just fine with, and then I'd say stop there, okay? There we're good. 18 games and, you know, whatever, 16 playoff teams, I think that would be it for me. So I think we got more room to go. But one thing I want to disabuse you of, Murray, or, you know, ask if you've been disabused of it. Do you understand that it's not going to be letting in a worse team than that's already in? It may be adding another mediocre one, But, you know, I think your fear was here comes a 6-10, 7-9 team making the playoffs. You understand that that's almost never going to happen because it's almost never happened in the past.
No,
that
I know.
That usually it's those – it's the 7-9, 8-8 is the division winner of a crappy division. And when you think about it, if you just do the math, which I know we shouldn't do, but, you know, if it's just one of four teams, you're more likely to have a losing record or a really bad team. The wild card, even if you're adding another wild card, well, it's the top three out of the remaining 13. Do I have that math right? And so, you know, they've actually gone back and run the numbers, Murray. I'm sure you've seen it. I'll just read it, and then you can, you know, give me your reaction. But they wrote this on Pro Football Talk, that according to the NFL, a 14-team format since the playoff expanded to 12 teams in 1990. So they expanded to 12 teams in 1990. If they had expanded to 14 teams back then, okay, if they had 30 years ago, it would have resulted in 60 more playoff teams. And of those, 44 would have had a winning record, and another 15 would have had a 500 record. So that means 59 of the 60 teams, Murray, would have been 500 or better. Only one of those 60 teams, and no one's told me who it is. I'd like to go back and figure out who that is. But only one of the 60 teams would have gotten in with a losing record since 1990. So, like, do you accept that, the math of it?
Yeah, I accept the math of it, but I don't like the reality of it. So I'll just use the 08 Patriots as an example, the 11-5 Patriots team, which I know you both think is some sort of great accomplishment, and I look at as one of the worst, if not the worst, seasons of the Belichick era, because they lost every big game that year, and Matt Castle sucked. So even at 11-5, that team didn't deserve to go to the playoffs. So I don't want to see a team that, okay, you beat up on some bad teams, you finish 9-7, 10-6, 11-5. If you didn't get in and you didn't win your division, F off. And I know that at the risk of contradicting myself, I do like the occasion when you do have a 7-9, 8-8, 9-7 division winner, because it makes the world crazy, because then a 12-4, 11-5 team that did squeak in as a wild card has to go on the road, and it's unfair, and rabble, rabble, rabble. And sometimes you do get a funny upset, like Seattle over New Orleans about 6-7 years ago, whenever that was. So, I don't know, it just feels rare, and it's funnier when it happens that way. I do think that this ultimately rewards mediocrity. Some of those teams that finished 10-6, 11-5, you didn't win your division, F off. You didn't deserve to be there.
Maz, don't you think Murray's overstating that 2008 season a little bit? Like, he's got some sort of agenda there? To say the 11-5 2008 season was one of the worst seasons of the Belichick era, do you really feel that way, or are you just...
No, I really feel that way. I hated that
come
year.
On.
I did. It was. It was garbage.
Did you like last year better or 2008?
Can I say it's a coin flip? I hated both those years.
Come on. Come on, Jim.
So, look, 2008 to me, again, you know, I give the Patriots credit. I think it's a little overstated that year, but nonetheless, only because I think the field was weak. But even so, they went 11-5, they'd have gotten in. I don't mind there being another team that's in. Again, I don't think you're watering down the product. And what I like is the fact that it makes it a little bit more challenging now, particularly for the good teams. So now, one thing I am interested in is I want to see what happens here over a sample size. For example, if the number one seed is the team that gets to the Super Bowl 90% of the time from each conference, because they have a bye, and then obviously they could play the team with the seventh best record in each conference. And then we find that this formula, this system, really, really puts a premium on that one spot and that no one else can win it, well, then you add the second bye back in. I think that there are ways to tweak it. But just because you're doing it now, Murray, doesn't mean that we're keeping it forever. And I like the idea of an extra team and the top teams, the very elite teams. I like the fact that they have something to play for right down to week 17 in all probability.
So next question for the people and for you guys. Do you think, and I know you've looked at some of the research we've done, so you have some background on this, but just, you know, if I asked you before we looked at it, just off the top of your head, do you think the second bye has helped the Patriots over the years? In other words, if they didn't have the second bye here over these last 20 years, would the Patriots have won their 6 Super Bowls, or did they need that second bye?
They needed it.
Oh, they absolutely needed it.
Okay, so that's what I would say off the top of my head, too, and that's how I feel about it, that there are years... Without that second seed, they're not winning it. And I think there might be one or two. But when I looked at it and we went back and did all the research, like, I really don't know. Let me give you the most famous example, maybe. 2001. Let's start with the first one.
Yep.
2001. The Patriots were only 11-5, only 11-5, Murray. And they somehow get the 2 seed that year. I think because Was it Nick Folk, Vinny, out at you big Jets fan? Who was the Jets kicker who kicked like a 58-yarder to beat the Raiders on the last week of the year? Folk's not that old, is he? It was someone. It was I think the Jets kicked a field goal at the last second out in Oakland to knock Oakland down one game, and so you got the bye. So would the Patriots have won the Super Bowl in 2001 without the bye? Just off the top of your head.
My gut, my instinct tells me maybe not. And when I say maybe not, obviously there's a chance they would have won it too. But I think the road for that team was really, really important. And their margin for error was really, really thin. They did not have a great team. They had a lot of talent on defense. So you take away that week off and you introduce another playoff game for something to go wrong, and I think that there is the chance that something goes wrong there. So that one to me is one, and that's a huge one, obviously, for the state of the franchise, the launching of the dynasty, the whole nine yards. That one, that could have been different if they didn't get that bye.
Okay. Instinctively, I'd say they need the bye. But I don't think they do. I don't think they did in 2001. And I'll, you know, we went back and did it. If you're watching on the simulcast, you'll see. If they had a seventh seed that year, if they had the seventh team in the AFC, it would have been Seattle. For you youngins, Seattle used to be in the AFC. And what was the last? That might have been the last year I think they were in the AFC. But the Seattle Seahawks would have qualified as the seventh seed at 9-7. Do you know who their quarterback was if they had made the playoffs?
Matt Hasselbeck.
Trent Dilfer.
Oh.
Matt Hasselbeck was their quarterback. I went back and looked this today. He got hurt. He got hurt in week 14, and Dilfer took over. I can't even remember Dilfer as the Seahawks quarterback, but he took over. Dilfer was 4-0 as a Seahawks quarterback that year. But anyway, if there was no bye there and you were the 2 seed, you would have hosted Seattle wild card weekend, the 9-7 Seattle Seahawks. It was Holmgren's second or third year. They were just starting to figure things out, but Trent Dilfer was their quarterback. The way the Patriots were rolling at the end of that season, do you think they lose that game?
No.
They beat Seattle flying here West Coast to East Coast. And then here comes Oakland. And, oh, by the way, you should have lost that game anyway. And I think it all sort of – to me, I don't think playing that wild card game, Maz, would have left a big mark on them. I really don't. I still think they win it. I think that team was winning it. They were a team of destiny. And I think they were winning it whether they had that bye or not.
Yeah, but I'm with Maz in that maybe they're a little bit more beat up after the win over Seattle.
Exactly.
They definitely beat the Seahawks. Oakland was stacked that year. You get the weather in your favor, obviously. So, I don't know, maybe you're a little bit more beat up and you end up losing that game. Or Vinatieri misses the kick. Like, I just think the road is infinitely tougher, even if you have an inferior opponent in Seattle in that first week.
And to me, that's what the issue is. It's not the opponent that got in. It's not the 7 team and the team you play in the first round. Is that now you don't have that week off. And I just think that that week off is huge, huge. So now you're introducing another game, you know, another 150 plays or whatever it is, chances for someone to get hurt. And my big thing with that Patriots team, because look, we all know, I agree they were a team of destiny. I like that. We all love that team, and that's the team that launched the whole golden age here in Boston sports. But their margin for error was thin. And I remember even Belichick in his book, the one that he did with David Halberstam, Education of a Coach, remarked on that team and said, I don't know how we got this team to win the Super Bowl. And you throw in another playoff game there, and I'm not sure how it turns out.
Okay, it's a fun game to play. It's a fun game to play. We did it with a bunch of years. I picked out about 6 or 8 years where the Patriots either went all the way, won the Super Bowl, came up just short. Who would they have played? What would the road have looked like? Would they have ended up winning? Sort of a fun thing to do. We'll do it. But your thoughts primarily on the extra playoff team per conference, the extra playoff game per conference. Do you like it or not like it? The Hounds are disinfected. They are wiped down. They have been released at 617-779-0985 to you right after these words.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left. left out of the conversation.
Never not once.
Belger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
The postseason is going to look significantly different for several reasons. First of all, Andrew, only one team is going to get a bye now. This is obviously a dramatic change from the past when two teams got a bye. Now, winning the conference, being the top team in the conference, means a lot for the playoffs. And by the way, it's worth noting, this all became official today, although it was expected when the new CBA passed. It became official today when 3/4 of the owners at least voted on a conference call to approve this. Not a surprise, but now official. So yes, one team is going to get a bye, which of course could force teams to play a little bit harder, maybe a little bit differently toward the end of the season to try to secure that. It also means one additional team per conference is going to get in the playoffs, which you might think would water it down. But the stats, Andrew, show a different side of it. Since 1990, just one team, 1.6%, would have been in with a losing record. So obviously not watered down as much maybe as you might think. This also is worth noting that on Saturday when the playoffs begin, it's now going to be three games instead of usual two. NBC and CBS pick up an additional game.
The Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, on that situation. Again, it is fun. We'll go to your phones here in a second. But it is fun to go back and look. Like, I think there are years that it doesn't matter if the Patriots had the one, the two. The three is different. But I know, so, you know, like going back now, if you take away that second seed, what you have is the second seed's really the third seed because they're playing that extra game. I get
exactly.
It. Okay, go ahead, Maz. That's your big point.
Yeah, so again, to me, that's where I think the road gets more difficult in 01. And so, you know, honestly, I think that there are Super Bowls the Patriots have won to me that are pretty airtight and that I have no doubt about the quality of the team. But there are ones that I look at and say, well, geez, you know, I don't know. Like, 0-1 to me is sort of gets a little grayer when they have to play another game in there. And the other obvious one for me would be the 2018 one, the bookend Super Bowls, where, you know, they got a bye despite going 11-5, and they caught a break to pull that off.
That, to me, is the glaring one. In 2018, they don't have the bye. There's no shot they win that title. And really, it came down to you had a healthy Gronk, and everyone actually was able to get right thanks to that bye. But Gronkowski is, like, the A number one guy that needed that extra week of rest.
Okay, Vin, you can throw that one up there if you want. 2008, that was 2 years ago. You win it. Kansas City, win it all, I mean. You win the championship. Kansas City was the one seed. You're the two seed at 11-5. Again, that's a good break to catch up. Two seed at 11-5. Houston's the three. Baltimore's the four. The Chargers are the five. Indy's the six. The seventh seed in 2018 would have been Pittsburgh at 9-6-1. So instead of the bye, okay, I mean, and the way it went, remember, is you had the bye, then you hosted San Diego at home at Gillette, and you waxed them, and then you went to KC for the AFC title game, and you won an overtime on the coin flip. But instead of the bye, you host Pittsburgh. You host Pittsburgh at 9-6-1, and then it would have gone to Hoyle. If you had beaten Pittsburgh, then it's San Diego at home, then it's at Kansas City. Do you make it through? Do you have enough gas in overtime in Kansas City having to play that extra game? Do you have enough gas, if you just want to play it out, for the fourth quarter against the Rams? I mean, it was a 3-3 game in the fourth quarter. People forget. You act like you killed them. It was 3-3 in the fourth quarter of that Rams game. So I think 2018, you're absolutely right to say that bye won you the championship. Without that bye, I don't think you win it.
And again, with Gronk, look at how much of a factor he was late against Kansas City, how he made that big play in the Super Bowl against the Rams. Pittsburgh had beaten them in the middle of December, so, you know, they kind of had their number that year. Brady struggled mightily in that game. That team, without rest, no shot they win that Super Bowl.
Yeah, I look at how good the Patriots were in those years, or how flawed, maybe, is a better way to say it. There are some years where I think that they were so good, it wasn't going to matter who they played or when, that they were going to find a way to win games. But in 01 and 18, those to me were limited teams. They could only do certain things well and not other things. And the more games they played in the postseason, the higher the likelihood they were going to lose.
Okay, your thoughts, 617-779-0985. Seth and Newton, lead us off today. Go ahead, Seth.
Yeah, I had a question for you. How is the
tie-breaking rules going to change, or do they change? I like the extra game. I'm all for any extra football games, but there's only two number one seeds. And, you know, what are the tiebreakers now?
So I think the tiebreakers.
Yeah,
Seth, thanks. I think the tiebreakers would be exactly as they would be. In other words, I don't have them in front of me, but head-to-head, division record, common opponents. You know, if the two teams are tied within a division, the division tiebreakers apply over the so, like, again, off the top of my head, the tiebreakers are head-to-head, common opponents, division, conference record, something like that.
I think that's right.
And I think they would just stay the same. I think they would just stay the same. And then you get down to, like, strength of victory and things of that nature. But I think they would stay exactly the same. What I haven't heard, I'm sure it's been reported, and I'm just going to assume it's the case, is that you still reseed. Like, to me, that's the more pertinent question. Because, you know, right now, the way it works is those bye teams, you don't know who you're facing the next weekend. It's always this convoluted thing of you'll face Kansas City or the winner of Tennessee-Pittsburgh, right? You know, it's like always – it can be one of three teams. You can only eliminate one. So is that just going to open it up, this one, for now there's three wild card games, and you say you're going to face either, you know, if you're the one seed, you face the seven if they win, you know, and then if not, you face the lowest remaining seed. Does that all make, you know, it's that popsicle headache that we get every year?
Yeah, I don't think that part of it is going to change. I think that everything will stay according to where you are in the order. And so, you know, if the number seven seed wins on wild card weekend, they're playing the team that had the bye and everything, you know, then the other two winners will face off. Like, that's always the easy way. And Mike, look, that, you know, that there's a tendency in these sorts of things because the Patriots have won so many Super Bowls. They're like one of the few teams we can look at all this evidence and say, how would the bye have affected it? There were years, too, where you could say that extra playoff spot might have helped them out. So, you know, we mentioned 2008. In 2002, they went 9-7 and missed the playoffs. Now, I looked that year up. Denver also finished 9-7 that year. Denver would have gotten in over the Patriots based on the tiebreaker you have. So, you know, you can also benefit from this rule change with regard to the playoff structure. But, for the Patriots, to me, given the way it's gone here over 20 years, I think we're talking about the top of that hierarchy more than we are the bottom.
Well, that 2008 team would have made the playoffs, much to your chagrin, Murray.
Absolutely.
Nate in Hanover on that team. Go ahead, Nate.
So, yeah, I mean, Jim, to be honest, like, to say that they're a disappointment or a fall-off, like, you realize they lost Asante Samuel, who was the number one corner. Who's that idiot? But he was still a good player that broke his arm, the linebacker. Humble pie.
Adalius Thomas.
Adalius Thomas. Like, but and it's not Adalius Thomas or Asante Samuel. Initially, you put Alex Hobbs as your number one, or you put, like, I don't know, Eric Alexander as your star.
You know what it is, Nate? You know what it is?
Yeah.
2000. The only people I know. It's pure agenda driven. It's just the only people I know that rip on 2008 have an agenda against Bill Belichick. Honestly, whether that's Murray, Gasper, I think Borges used to do it.
Gasper loves that stupid team.
He doesn't. Oh, 2008?
Oh, no, he's been banging the drum since 2009 and doing that Saturday show initially with Beatles. He loves the expanded playoff format, and this is the team he uses as the example. He feels like that they should be there.
Oh, no, but he's one of those, like the rest of you. Well, they were 18-1 the year before. That's a four-game fall-off. Like, going 11-5 with a backup quarterback who kind of stunk. Oh, but he made the Pro Bowl 2 years later. It's the only people that do it are the ones who are looking to knock down Belichick and don't want to give him credit for it.
The right people. It's actually seven fewer wins. They split with the Dolphins, lost the big games to the Colts and the Steelers. And all right, they eventually blew out the eventual NFC champion Cardinals at home. But big whoop. They went 2-3 against playoff teams. They weren't that good. They were overrated. They were stacked. They had a terrible quarterback. And they deserved not to make the playoffs.
They went 2-3 against playoff teams? That's not horrible. That's not a horrible record at all. There's plenty of years where the Patriots. What were the Patriots against playoff teams this year?
Oh, and
what
four.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, man.
This year sucked, too.
It's great. No, the only – it's an agenda-driven thing. I get it. We all have them. You know, I think as I've matured a little bit, I'm more able to just call them as they are in most cases.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, I'm the only one who shows consistent fairness on this show. Like, I've come to accept that. I get it. But if you just step back and put your agendas, you'll leave your baggage at the door and just look at it and say, 11-5 with a backup quarterback who had never played, that's pretty good.
sucked.
Pretty good. Yeah, it's okay. Hey,
I'm sorry.
Look, we all have our baggage. Sometimes we can drop it at the door. Sometimes we can't.
Just to repeat, 2019, that was 0-4.
We continue to look back at how that second seed would have helped the Patriots over the years after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
All right, Felger and Maz presented by DraftKings. It's a little more exacting than I thought going through these years, but it's kind of fun to go back. If the current playoff format was in play over the last 20 years, how would the Patriots have done? Have the Patriots benefited from that second seed? Have they benefited more from it? From some teams than others, Vin out at NBC Sports Boston. I'll go in chronological order. There's some years I don't think it would have mattered. Like, for example, 03 and 04. You've heard me talk about this a lot. I think that was the best Patriots team of all time. I think that was better than 07. I think it was better than 2014. I think it was better than 1976 with, you know, Hannah and Sam Bam Cunningham and that team. I think it was better than – I think it was the 03-04 Patriots. We're the best Patriots team of all time. If you really want me to be specific, 2004 was the very best Patriots team of all time. 14-2. One of them, one of those losses was just a throwaway late game in Miami. They didn't even really need it. And they just waxed everyone. There wasn't really a close playoff game. That Super Bowl against Philly turned into a three-point game, but I think the Pats separated in that game as well. They were just a wagon. That was the Corey Dillon year. 2004, the Pats were the two seed. 2004, the Pats were the two seed. So if the current format were in play in 2004, Maz, they would have faced the seven-seeded Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yep.
Coached by Jack Del Rio. Byron Leftwich was the quarterback.
Yep.
Then the road would have been the same as it was. Colts, Pittsburgh on the road, and then the Super Bowl. Are you telling me if they had to play Jacksonville that wild card weekend that there would have been one lick of difference in what happened for the rest of that year?
No, look, that year is an easy one to pick at because they were 14-2, and they were the number two seed. Pittsburgh went 15-1 that year. It was one of Roethlisberger's real early years, right? Yeah. So,
it might have been his rookie year.
Yeah. So, to me, that's the one I look at, and I say I don't care. They were so good that year that, you know, they were the number two seed, and playing another game wouldn't have mattered. They were just going to steamroll people. If I remember right, that was the year they shut the Colts down, number one offense, and then went to Pittsburgh and put 40 up on the number one defense.
That team did it all.
Yeah, they were loaded.
That team was so freaking good. Incredible defense. If you care about the running game, they had it. That was Dillon's rookie record year. And when they needed to put up 41, they went into Pittsburgh, as you said, in freezing cold and put up 41. So I don't care what their seed was in 2004. They were winning it all.
Yeah, no question. If anything, they might have actually looked better in some of those games if it was even possible, because it would have been a tune-up against Jacksonville.
Okay, so 2006, how about a year they came up short? 2006, they came up just short. They were the four seed that year. Okay, so if there were seven teams in the AFC playoffs that year, how would it have shaken out? San Diego was the one seed. Denver was the seven. Okay? So for that to have changed, right, for your road to have changed, Denver would have had to beaten Baltimore in the first round. The two seed was Baltimore. Okay? So just follow me. It's a little convoluted. San Diego was one. Baltimore was two. Indy was three. The Pats were four. Okay? Denver would have snuck in as the seven seed at 9-7. So if Denver had gone to Baltimore, right, 7-2, if Denver had gone to Baltimore and beaten the Ravens, which was possible, the Ravens were down that year. That was the year that Indy went into Baltimore and held them to 6 points. Okay, remember? That was the year the Colts won it. So if Denver had beaten Baltimore, Denver goes to San Diego, and you would have gone to Indianapolis a week early. You would have gone to Indianapolis in that divisional round as opposed to the AFC title game, and maybe you don't even make it to the AFC title game. So maybe you actually bought around by going to San Diego versus Indianapolis in 2006. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And again, I think you'll find a couple of these along the way where as the number two seed, they got a bye, and, you know, Dan Shaughnessy's tomato can game got him in the AFC Championship, and those AFC Championship appearances might not have been as, you know, as plentiful as they were, given that you'd have to play an extra game with some teams that did make it to the Super Bowl.
So that's the biggest difference I've seen, Mass, as I've gone back and looked through the years, that maybe there were a few AFC title games you might not have made.
I feel the same way.
But the Super Bowl years, for the most part, were the Super Bowl years. 2018, I think we can agree on. 01, we'll disagree on. 2006, with that seventh team, if Denver had gone to Baltimore and won, you would have faced Indy a week early, and you wouldn't even have made the AFC title game, I don't think. How about 2010? 2010 was the year you were the number one seed. So I've also played around with this. The years you were number one, but if there were seven teams, would your road have looked at? 2010 was the year that you lost to the Jets in the division round, right?
Right. Right.
You were the one seed. So is there a way for you to have avoid facing the Jets in that second round? Okay, 2010, you were the one seed, Pittsburgh was the two, the Jets were the six, and San Diego was the seven. So, again, for the road to have been different, San Diego would have had to go into Pittsburgh in the wild card weekend, beaten Pittsburgh, and then you would have faced the Chargers in that divisional game versus the Jets in that divisional game. That's a year where maybe it cost you a game, because I think you waxed the San Diego there. You know, you waxed the Chargers. Norv Turner was the coach of the Chargers then, and Philip Rivers. You know, the Jets, you know, had a certain thing that year. The Chargers, no. And if the Chargers had been able to upset Pittsburgh, maybe you get them in that second round, and you actually, maybe 2010 becomes a run, as opposed to the Jets walking in here divisional weekend.
Yeah,
was one.
Go ahead, Murray.
I thought that's one of my more favorite Patriots teams that underachieved, and it's just they got skunked by a hot team at the worst possible time of the Jets, and that's one I look at and be like, oh man, they could have actually gotten things right. You play the Chargers; it's a different looking field. That's a team that I felt like should have probably came out of the AFC.
Yeah, that one could have absolutely been different. No two ways about it, because the Jets had other factors working for them, too. Remember the 45-3 game? They came up here, got their asses kicked. So there were a lot of elements that led up to that playoff game, and if they had faced someone else, they'd have been better off.
Okay, but again, that is supposing that in that year, 2010, San Diego at 9-7 with Norv Turner goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers and beats them. The Steelers ended up going to the Super Bowl that year, so this is another thing I would say, that really for it to have changed, the seven has to beat the two. And I don't know how many years that's happening. I don't, because the seven is, Murray, it's not a losing team, but it's a tweener team almost every year. It's a 9-7 tweener team. I'm going to give it 2011. People consider that a marginal Super Bowl year for the Patriots. They went to the Super Bowl that year, lost to the Giants. That was a year their secondary was decimated, right? It was Irwin Moreland and, you know,
Sterling Moore,
all those guys. Right, that was the year they lucked out against Baltimore at home in the AFC title game, where what's-his-face drops a ball in the end zone, misses the field goal, etc.
Lee Evans and Billy Cundiff. Yeah.
There it is. You know the names, Maz. Did you know the Pats were the one seed that year? They were 13-3 and the number one seed. So it's like it really wouldn't have mattered. The only break they might have gotten is if – well, I mean, they ended up beating Baltimore anyway and going to the Super Bowl. So there was no break to have. The seventh seed that year would have been Tennessee. Tennessee at 9-7. Matt Hasselbeck was their quarterback. So Tennessee would have been at Baltimore in that wild card weekend. Does Tennessee knock off Baltimore and change your path? I don't know. But I think 2011 still would have happened. I don't think you backed into anything 2011.
No, I would say I'm sorry. I was going to say that to me, the big difference again would be those bookend teams where they had to play an extra game and, you know, they were flawed Super Bowl winners. And look, 0-1 to me is tough because that team was, as you said, a team of destiny. And I think that, you know, they were better than the 2018 team. The most recent one, though, is a team you look at and say, no shot if they play an extra game. No shot's not fair. But had they been required to play an extra game, they'd have had difficulty.
Let me just jump ahead. 2016, a Super Bowl year. 2016, they were the one seed at 14-2. Kansas City with what Alex Smith was the two seed at 12-4. The seven seed that year in 2016 would have been the Titans at 9-7. Mike Mularkey was the coach. I think Mariota had just gotten there. Do I have that right?
Yep.
for that to have, for your path to have changed in 2016. 2016, the way you went is you played the Texans in that divisional game. You waxed them 34-16. Wasn't that great of a game, but you beat them. And then you blew the crap out of Pittsburgh. I think you blew out Pittsburgh, right, in the AFC title game. Was that that year, 2016? I didn't write the AFC title game down. But so for that to have changed, Tennessee with Mike Mularkey and Marcus Mariota would have had to gone into Kansas City and beaten them. Do you give them a chance to do that?
No.
Yes?
2016, yes, I say Andy yes.
Reed? Yeah, Andy Reid? Sure, Andy Reid can cough up a playoff game with the best of them. He'd cough it up like a chicken wing ordered from the Cheesecake Factory there, Murray. So, I mean, like, I'm not telling you it's like I would favor Mike Mularkey and the Titans in that game, but could Tennessee and walked into KC and them choking? Sure. Sure they could have choked.
That's true, yeah. What did they do? I think they actually did it a year later. Is that what
exactly. I was just about to say that. I know that one of those years they went in there and actually did exactly that.
So instead of the Texans in the second round, you would have gotten Tennessee in the second round. Same difference, right?
Oh, I mean,
it would have changed the road. But so if when you go back through the years and play with it, for it to have made a difference, the seven has to have walked into the number two and beaten the two. And I don't know how often that's going to happen, Maz. I don't know how often that's going to happen. The way this has gone the last couple of years, those road teams in the playoffs against the high-seeded teams, they just haven't won very often. And I think what this is going to do, long story short, is it's going to give us an extra football game, but it's not going to change much. I really don't think it's going to change much. I don't see many of those sevens beating many of those twos when I go back and look at it through the years. I really don't.
So, again, to me, go ahead, I'm sorry.
You go.
Well, I was going to say the big thing, though, is that extra game to me. That's what I look at and say, you know, now instead of playing 19, you're going to have to play one more than that, right? You're going to have to play wild card weekend, division round, and then championship game. And, you know, so that extra game to me takes away a week off. Any injuries you have that you might have been able to heal from at least sufficiently for some guys to play, now that those aren't there anymore. And I if the team is at all vulnerable, and again, most of those years the Patriots were they were wagons or close to it. But in 01 and 18, those teams weren't perfect. They were flawed teams that had limitations, and playing an extra game could have made a difference.
Back to your phones. Long commercial-free segment next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a meat cup, but you are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
I wouldn't pay him.
A 98.5 to Sports Hub.
It sounds like there's definitely going to be some virtual component. I mean, they've already discussed about the possibility of teams being able to instruct players from afar. So you would have that classroom work, that X's and O's work, without having that on-field work or anything within the facility. It sounds like that's at least going to be have to be the plan for at least a portion of the offseason, because we are right up against the doorstep of when offseason workouts were supposed to begin, and we are nowhere near close to being able to open up these facilities, let the players and let the teams and let everyone back inside these buildings. So Jeff Pasch saying that they're going to have to figure out how the virtual side of things is going to work. Now, they haven't exactly killed the offseason program. They haven't ended everything. They're still holding out hope that maybe they'd have a shortened offseason program, maybe some kind of mini camp in OTA program in May and June. But right now, it's looking like we may have to have an entirely virtual offseason, and then going into training camp that they hope would start on time, and the season that they hope would start on time. I mean, that's what they're saying right now. But even Jeff Pasch admitted he doesn't even know what's going to happen to him tomorrow. So we have no idea how to plan for the future here of the NFL. I will say one thing. The schedule release looking like it's going to come around May 9th. That's almost a month later than it usually comes. But that was something that they were already considering. The coronavirus situation just gave them another reason to push it back a little further.
This is Mike Garofalo, NFL Network. Before we get back, your phones are on the playoff format. He hits there on Jeff Pasch of the NFL talking about, regular season has scheduled full buildings. And he was pretty confident, and at least the words were confident. When you hear him talk, he's not a very forceful speaker, so I didn't bother playing you the cut of him. But he's, Jeff Pasch is sort of plowing ahead. Regular schedule, as promised, full buildings, September 13th or whenever that opening day is. I think it's the 13th, full steam ahead. How do we feel about that? By the way, even if it's okay to have goals and, we're pretty firmly established on this show, these leagues should be trying to play and do everything that they can. But the way that he phrased it, I don't know. He could have been a little more cognizant of what was going on out there, I thought.
So, look, I think there's going to start to be a little bit of a backlash here. And I don't know if there will be any long-term ramifications from it or not. But, just something a little bit softer, I think would have worked a little bit better where, our plan right now is to do that. We think we have enough time. Obviously, we'll adjust on the fly if we find that this is taking longer than everybody expects. But to say it as definitively as they did, to me, is almost like, well, this pandemic be damned. We're playing football in September. I just don't think it comes off well. So now, will people get angry enough that they're going to, say, I'm not watching football anymore? I don't know. I mean, it rarely ever comes to that. You know that as well as I. But I do think that the deeper we get into this, it feels to me like every day people are getting a little bit more irritated. And so to me, this is one of those things where just tread cautiously because people are looking for a reason to get pissed off right now.
No, people are just mad. People are just mad anyway. I had no problem with it. I saw Schefter whining about it earlier today with a clip that's gone viral. I have no problem with this from the NFL. It's been forced optimism anyway. Forced optimism and hope isn't a bad thing. I think it's okay. And we should be hoping that the season starts on time and hope we're going to get out of this daily hell. So I'm okay with it.
Murray, can you pull that Schefter clip for me? I'd like to hear it.
Let's see if I can find it.
Is it what you would call the pearl-clutching Nana, that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah, very much so. It's Florio-esque.
Okay.
Yeah, he's sensing the frustration towards the league, which I found interesting. Like I heard that Schefter cut. Greg Bedard had a tweet about it today. Like, hey, could they soft step the message a little bit? And I do. And Murray, I'm okay with it. I'm not telling you because I'm sort of on your side. Like, but I do think that publicly it may not play well, and that people, again, there are people out there who are in pretty dire circumstances or tough straits right now, whether it be economically, medically, or both. And I think when you did as definitively stated as Pasch did, I just think there are going to be people who inevitably say, are you oblivious? Like, get a clue, will you?
Here's that clip if you want to hear it.
Sure, go ahead.
And we all hope that it happens, frankly. We all want that back. We all want to see the days where we have that distraction of football. But OTAs, that's no not shot. Happening. Yeah. The offseason program, that's not happening. The draft is happening only through the sheer force and determination and lack of foresight from Phil, frankly. I mean, they are determined to put this on while there is carnage in the streets.
Yeah, so don't cover the draft then. Then turn your multiple phones off that you're always going to, always taking your calls on with any of the spots you do on ESPN, and then don't cover the draft if you feel that strongly about it. The draft we need. They need to be, hammering through the draft. I'm glad that they did. And we understand that there's carnage in the streets. Could it have been worded better from Pasch? Yes. And how the NFL has handled it? Sure, fine. But it's not like they're also, adding the addendum of, F anyone that's that is actually suffering right now financially or with the virus or anything else. I'm okay with forced optimism by the league.
Okay, and I'm not even forced optimism. I'm okay with pushing ahead and trying to work and trying to keep the economy going and doing everything that we can, fighting through it, pushing through it, grinding it out. That is what I am 1,000% in favor of. And I'm not diminishing this one bit whatsoever. But, our fathers and our grandfathers went through wars and world wars and had to be shipped overseas to get their ass shot off. I mean, so we've been through adversity before and we've still found a way to fight through it. We didn't just shut everything down, did we? And so it's like, The over-the-top outrage because people are still trying to work or do business is, come on, man. Like, come on. The whole idea is to fight through the whole thing and push through the whole thing and grind it out as best we can. And there's nothing wrong with trying to do that. Now, could the NFL, you know, and passion his comments, give a nod towards the world conditions before saying, nope, we're playing football? Of course he could. Of course he could,
exactly.
As I mentioned. And I think he could and he should. But let's not hang the guy upside down from a tree because he wants to keep his business going. I think he should want to keep his business going. Sorry. Okay. I don't mean to get outraged either. Back to your phones, as promised. John in Maine on the playoff format. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. Hi, guys. I actually like the format along with what's coming in 2021 with the extra regular season game because it gives a chance to have teams that never been in the playoffs have that chance to upset somebody.
Okay, another upset special. Yeah, Murray, you should like it. And it's another chance for people to get outraged. Oh, there's a 9-7 team that's hosting a playoff game again. You love that, don't you?
Yeah, I just find Wild Card Weekend has gotten increasingly watered down with crap teams like the Brian Hoyer-led Houston Texans getting in and then embarrassing themselves. And there's just going to be more of that kind of product. And sure, I'll still watch because I'm a sucker and the NFL has me over a barrel. But this really is just for the owners. And fine, it's well within their right to make more money. And the degenerate gamblers who want something else to bet on. I just don't want more inventory in the NFL. It was fine how it was.
Brian in the car, what do you got for us?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so the year that immediately jumped out to me as soon as I saw the format, and I know you guys are kind of focusing strictly on the playoffs, but was 2015. Because as much as, you know, over the years, Belichick's had his moments where he's kind of been a little arrogant with the, you know, capabilities of the teams, I just don't see a scenario where he would have dinked around in Miami if he knew that they were going to risk losing the bye that year. And as a result, now all of a sudden you get Denver coming here. I think everybody would agree that that defense wouldn't have had the same impact. Manning wasn't coming here. So, you know, the road I just think would have been much easier in 2015 if this was the format because I think you never put yourself in a position where Belichick's going to dink around in week 17.
Brian, thanks for the call. 2015 is a good year to bring up. 2015.
Great point.
Okay. 2015 was the year you peed away the last month of the year. 2015 is the year that some of you thought it doesn't matter where we play, just so we're healthy. And so you have that JV game plan in Miami the last week. You know, and not that this was giving the game away, but I think it sort of adds to the piece of it. That was the year that you deferred the kickoff in overtime in New York. This was the year you had the mortar kick, right, Maz? This was the whole, that whole year, 2015. You end up the 2 seed. Thinking that we'll still have the bye and we can beat Denver with, you know, one arm tied behind our back in Denver, no problem. And you were wrong. Traveling to Denver cost you a shot at the Super Bowl. If the bye was on the line, is there any way they handled 2015 the way they handled 2015?
No.
No shot. No shot. And so,
sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, Maz,
I know we don't
no
do Maz, one-word answers.
I know, it's okay. You're... So, no. So, I think that's important to bring up. Coming up next, 90 seconds, no commercials, just an update from Big Jim Murray. Do we bother to look at the quarterbacks in this year's draft? Should we bother to look at, and I'm going to butcher the names intentionally, because I haven't bothered to look at the quarterbacks. Is it Herbert? What's his name? Justin Herbert?
Yeah, Justin Herbert out of Oregon.
What's Love's first name?
Jordan.
Jordan.
Jordan Love. Jordan Love. Justin Herbert.
Jake Fromm.
Jake Fromm. Who's the Oklahoma kid, the runaround kid?
Jalen Hurts.
Okay, so this is me in the draft. Like, I give two poops about it, right? Like, I barely remember the names. I barely remember who they are. Should we be looking at those guys for the Patriots this year, or do they already have their guy? Have they already made their first-round pick? You'll hear some sound coming back. Mike Florio and Chris Sims talking about Jared Stidham and where he would be ranked in the draft and how the Patriots feel about him. You'll hear that sound, and we'll discuss, again, right after Murray's update here, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.